child. He may be seated, yes. Oh, how are you doing, church? Good, wonderful. I'm just so overwhelmed by how much God is such a God of love, you know? Maybe it's the fact that today is Valentine's Day, or, you know, just hearing Erica's story through Darla, and what God is doing through Darla, and what God is doing through Kathy, and just, it's just amazing to hear expressions and different ways that the love of God is just, you know, exuding in the body. And Sam and I were also a part of Joining Hearts Week, and as you know, Kimberly and Steve and Malusis were there as well. But I feel like God is just, we've only been married about a year and a half, and I feel like God has given us a brand new marriage again. I just, again, so amazed at how much God loves love and how much He is love, you know? So yeah, just even learning just yesterday about, you know, what the covenant of marriage looks like and the covenant of Jesus' blood and just how much He loves us is just incredible. And so we had a great time yesterday. How many of you were at Joining Hearts? Anybody? Yeah? You guys had an amazing time? Yes. There's about over 50 couples, so there's over 100 people here. And I bawled my makeup off in the morning in the first session, and I made myself stop crying because when I cry really hard, my upper lip gets really swollen and my eyes get swollen shut, and it lasts for about 2 days. And I'm like, oh, it looks so horrible. So I stopped crying. So I know after today I'll go home and cry some more. Oh, praise God. Well, today we're speaking along with the topic of Love Compels about having a heart for souls. You know, how many of you, just even before I start, know that your heart's desire is to have hearts for souls? Anybody with me? Amen. We're in a good group. Again, like I was just saying, I've been overwhelmed recently as just the love of God and how much He is love and how much He loves us. And how many of you know that it is because of God's love that Jesus came for us? Amen? And just even meditating on that, I realized the love that God has for you and I in this church, in this body, the love that God has for Steve Long here didn't start with just Steve Long right now being awesome and righteous and holy, and God is like, I love Steve Long because he's good. God's love for Steve Long began when Steve Long had no love for the Lord, right? In 1 John, it talks about we love because he first loved us. And the whole plan of salvation, the fact that the Father sent his one and only Son to this earth to rescue you and I is because he loved, right? John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And so just remembering that this incredible love I feel from the Father right now began before I even knew him. Amen? And so I really feel like the Lord is just calling us to become lovers just like he is a lover. And that his love is so powerful, and it has not stopped loving. And what I mean by that is, I don't know about you, but for me, I sometimes forget that there are still hurting and broken people in this world. Because being at TACF, we are so blessed being in a body that has experienced the Father's love and are continually experiencing the Father's love and continually having our hearts healed, that I'm surrounded by people who are sons and daughters and know they are. You know, it's such a great thing. And because, you know, I'm in a place of knowing myself and my identity in the Lord, I sometimes forget what I felt like being fatherless. You know, sometimes I forget what it felt like living in the shroud of rejection and fear. And I forget what it felt like living my life outside of Jesus. And here we are today, living heaven on earth now. Eternal life begins now, right? We're living heaven on earth now. And I know for myself, I am guilty of sometimes forgetting that there are people, more people in this world that are living hell on earth. And that they are in desperate, desperate need for a Savior. And so Today we want to talk about allowing the Lord to give us a heart for souls. And when Jesus came, everything he did, right, was compelled by what? Love, by compassion. You know, he saw someone sick and had compassion. He saw them look, they had compassion on them, for they looked like sheep without a shepherd. He had so much compassion. Everything he did was from a place of love. I just want to start off with the story of John G. Lake. Anyone heard of him, John G. Lake? Incredible healing ministry. He was a revivalist in the late 1800s, early 1900s. And he is just an incredible man of God. And I heard a story of him because a friend of mine was reading his book. Not a book that he wrote. I believe it was a book that one of his very close friends wrote of him. But the book was about John G. Lake. I don't know if any of you knew this, but he was a very successful businessman before he went into full-time ministry. And he was extremely successful in real estate. He even had a chair on the Chicago Board of Trade. I believe that's what it was. I didn't write it down. But he was very influential of his time, very, very successful. And he always had a heart for healing and a heart just to be able to share God's love with people around him, but it was never fully radical, right? And he knew he wanted something more. He had to have something more. And so he's like, God, I want to be so full of your Holy Spirit. I want to be so full of your Holy Spirit that he began to just say, God, give me more. And all of a sudden, he got this radical baptism of the Holy Spirit. He got the gift of tongues, and his whole life just exploded. And what happened was, as he was sitting in business meetings in his very successful business, he'd be looking at the man and or the woman, the gentleman in front of him. And as the gentleman's speaking, he can't concentrate on anything the man is saying. All he's thinking is, how is his soul? How is his soul? How is his soul? Does he know God? Does he know Jesus as his Savior? How is his soul? And so he'll have to interrupt his business meeting and say, excuse me, how is your soul? And so the man would just begin to burst in a flood of tears and say, what must I do to be saved? And so John would just lead him to the Lord right then and there. And this kept on happening to the point where he couldn't do business anymore. It was like, it was pointless. Here he is building the kingdom of God and his business is suffering because he just can't concentrate on it anymore. And so that's when he left this business. At that time, he was making $50,000 a year, which is the equivalent, 2007 equivalent of $1.25 million. Okay, he was doing very well, but he was like, you know what, I need souls. I need souls, I need souls, I need souls, I need souls. And just that story has just challenged me to my core, because here I am, a daughter of the King. I've experienced his resurrection power in my life. I have experienced his radical conversion. You know, if you talk to any of my friends that knew me pre-Father Hart, I am a totally different person, you know? I have instead of BC, it's BF, you know? I guess it is BC for me too, but yeah, the Lord is good. Anyway. And so I heard that story, and it just challenged me so much, and I hope that it challenges well, because when I look at strangers on the street, and this is a confession from the bottom of my heart, when I'm on the TTC subwaying it around, when I'm in the grocery store, when I walk the streets of Toronto, I see people, but they're like moving objects. You know, moving objects that are just obstacles I need to avoid as I get from point A to point B. How often is it that we actually begin to stop in our spirits and in our hearts and look at the individuals in front of us and see them the way Jesus sees them? With a heart of incredible compassion, knowing that they are broken and hurting and needing the love and the rescuing of Jesus Christ. Yeah. And so my biggest prayer recently, especially just the end of last year, beginning of this year, has been, God, teach me to be an evangelist for your kingdom. Teach me to share your love with the lost like you would share it with the lost. God, I don't want to try and be Billy Graham. I can't be Benny Hinn. I can't be Steve Long. But God, I know I can be me. So give me your words. Give me your heart. Give me your compassion for those around me, because I want to be someone who brings hundreds, if not thousands, of souls into your kingdom. And I pray that that is our prayer today. So how about we, let's turn really quickly to Matthew. Matthew chapter 9. Lord, let our hearts beat with the things that make your heart beat. Let our hearts be so full of your compassion and your love. Matthew 9. Matthew 9, let's begin in verse 9. Before I go there, I'll read this first and then I'll say what I was going to say. So Matthew 9, verse 9, it says, "And as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax collector booth, and he said to him, 'Follow me.' And Matthew, so he got up and followed him. And then it happened that as Jesus was reclining at the table of the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were dining with Jesus and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, 'Why is your teacher eating with the tax collectors and sinners?' But then Jesus heard this and said, 'It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick.'" I'm going to read that one more time. "It is not those who are healthy that need a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Amen. I was just meditating on this, and I thought to myself, and I said, Jesus, does that mean if you were physically on this earth right now, that actually you wouldn't be visiting my house? Think about that. No, Jesus wouldn't be visiting our house if he came physically right now, because we are righteous. We have been bought with the price, with the blood of Jesus. And where would he be then? Let's ask ourselves, if Jesus was here on the earth today, where would he be? Yeah, amen. He'd be in the streets. Absolutely. Jesus was so controversial in his day. How many of you know, and I know we've talked about this before, that tax collectors were like the biggest boo-boo. You don't talk to them. They're traitors. They're horrible. You don't converse with them. You don't even look with them. You practically would rather spit at their feet than even ask them for tea. Anyone know tax collectors were the biggest no-no back in the day? You do not socialize with tax collectors, right? Not only that, Jesus loved on the prostitutes. You know, prostitutes even today have a crazy stigma. I can imagine Jesus walking the streets of the red light district in Russia, you know, or like walking the streets of Toronto today, loving on prostitutes. How controversial is that even for us today, right? This might get a little uncomfortable. I was in a coffee shop the other day. I was in a coffee shop the other day studying, because I'm in school. And in the last hour of me studying, I couldn't concentrate because an individual walked into the coffee shop that was very clearly a man looking like a woman. And I was so shocked. I've only seen this in television or heard about it in school, or I've never actually had any relationship with someone who would call themselves a trans individual. And I was just shocked because there were literally one table for me and I could not concentrate. I'm like, I can't concentrate. I'm trying not to stare, but I'm just like, wow, I don't even know where. That's like totally out of my scope of imagination, you know? And as I was trying to study, but also overhearing, it turns out that this individual was actually a believer. And they really loved Jesus. And they were talking about going to a church that was so full of the Holy Spirit, and they loved it. And I was hearing this, and everything in me was totally, I couldn't get it. You know when your mind just doesn't get it, you know? You're like, God, I don't get it, you know? I don't get it, but I know you love. I know you love. One thing I know for sure is that you love. And what totally hit me at that moment, and I was like, God, I know that there are people in our society today that I feel too uncomfortable, and I don't know what to say, that I just would rather avoid the issue than to even approach them with your love. Yet, Lord, if you were here today, I wonder if you would hang out on Church Street, if that would be your favorite place. You know, that would be Jesus' favorite place. And I think for me, it just shattered my mindset. I was just like, God, you know, I want to be someone who loves like you love. You know, the love of Christ reaches out in our desperation and pulls us out and rescues us and shows us his love and eternal life in ways that we can never comprehend. And I bet, like myself, the Pharisees were like, what is Jesus doing eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners? What is he doing? And yet Jesus says, hey, this is exactly who I came for. I've been looking for Matthew. I've been looking for the tax collectors and sinners. I have been waiting. My heart has been longing to sit and eat with him. And I really want to challenge each one of us today. What are areas that we have just been like, Jesus, I'll leave that with someone else. You know, God, I would rather just stay in my corner and enjoy your presence with the people around me who love you. But I am not ready to get out there. You know, I want the Lord to just shake each one of our hearts, to give us such a passion for souls that there is no one that we cannot look in the eye and say, Jesus loves you and he came to save you. Jesus loves you. Lord, give us your heart. You know, I want to read John chapter 17. This part of John 17, which is the prayer that Jesus prayed for his disciples before he went to the cross. Anytime I see red letters in the Bible, you know, I get a little goosebumpy because, you know, those are the words of our Lord. You know, it's just amazing. And I love them. And here he is, Jesus is praying for his disciples. And this challenged me to the core of who I am. John 17, let's begin in verse 14. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. This is Jesus talking. I do not ask you, he's talking to the Father, to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them with the truth of your word. Sanctify them with the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. Amen. Okay. How many of you are avid soakers? Yeah, love soaking. Okay. My mom... I'm not going to point her out, but she is an avid soaker. She will soak at a red light. Like, that's how much she soaks. Like, she's just amazing. My mom is, it's amazing because, you know, when, you know, your mom comes to pick you up and you're running late and you feel really terrible, I don't have to feel terrible anymore because if my mom is waiting for me, she's soaking. So she's like, she gets up refreshed and full of the love of the Lord, and I come in like 10 minutes late and she's like, hello. You know, I'm like, wow, thank you, Jesus. I'm glad she's soaking. But she is so full of the love of the Lord. But I also know that something that not just my mom, but other people that you know, that I'm in relationship with, including myself, sometimes struggle with, is how many, no raise of hands, this is a rhetorical question, but how many of us feel as if our time on earth is to try and keep ourselves as clean as possible until Jesus comes? Right? So you're like, haha, yeah, I get that. You know, so we coop ourselves in our homes, you know, with worship music playing, with scripture verses on the walls. You know, we hang out with our prayer partner friends. We come to church and we do everything we can to keep ourselves squeaky clean until Jesus comes and not be infected by the world at all. You know, so we coop ourselves up. And I was getting into the track where I was beginning to tempt myself and to coop myself up until Jesus comes. Lord, I pray that you come at 2012 because then I have 2 more years of cooping myself up before you come and I can celebrate you in the marriage supper of the Lamb, right? But I'm not saying Jesus is coming in 2012. But oftentimes I feel like we sometimes think that way, you know, keep me as unstained as possible. Get me out of here. But if that was the case, if that was what God and what Jesus wanted for us, then Jesus would never have said here in this verse, I do not ask you, Father, to take them out of the world, but rather that you would keep them from the evil one. What does that mean? What God is saying that it is the Father's job to keep us from the evil one, but he wants us in the world. He wants us out there. He wants us out of the church walls. He wants us out of our prayer closets. He wants us out there. The reason why we have a prayer closet, the reason why we gather here, the reason why we have our wonderful soaking times with the Lord is not just to enjoy our presence with the Lord, but to get out there and share his love with the hurting and the broken on the streets of our city. Amen? I just want to confirm that even in 1 Corinthians 5. Again, when I read this, I was like, Jesus! 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, it says, I wrote you in my letter, Paul is saying this to the Corinthians, not to associate with immoral people. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. Some of you are like, amen, I do not associate with immoral people. Listen to verse 10. This is going to challenge the socks out of you. I did not mean at all the immoral people of this world. Whoa. Or with the covetous and swindlers. How many of you swindlers as friends? Or the swindlers. Or with the idolaters. For then you would have to go out of the world. Oh my gosh. Paul is saying, I did not tell you, when I told you to not hang out with immoral people, I did not mean the immoral people of this world, because if that's what I meant, you would have to leave. And what did Jesus say? I don't want you to leave. I want you to stay. I want you to stay, and I want the Father to keep you from the evil one. I need you here. In verse 18 of chapter 17 of John says, I, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. Right? So what God is saying, I'm not saying don't have immoral friends. And then this is what Paul is saying. He says, but actually I wrote you to not associate with the so-called brothers. So this is talking about, you know, friends in the church that we put our guards down with, and someone is gossiping and you're gossiping with them. That's more what Paul was talking about. So what Jesus is saying and what Paul is saying here is that we have been called to make friends with the idolaters and the swindlers and the immoral people so that we can bring them into the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. This is so exciting. I love this. In Matthew 25, verse 14 is the parable of the talents. We know this story really well. Feel free to read it if you need to, and I'm running out of time. But it's a parable of the talents where the master gives his servant, one of his servants, one talent, another servant, two talents, and the third servant, five talents. And he says, go and do something with these talents. And I'm going to go away and I'm going to come back and I want to get my money back when I leave, when I come back. The first servant was afraid and he buried his talent in the ground, while the second and the third servant went out, invested the two, invested the five, and came back with two more and five more. And then the Lord, the master, celebrated them and said, well done, my good and faithful servant. To whom much is given, more will be given. Right? But then the one who buried his one talent was starkly rebuked. And I feel like for each one of us, we have this gift of salvation. We have this gift of eternal life. And I feel like the Lord is asking us, what are you doing with it? What are you doing with the incredible knowledge of my love as Heavenly Daddy? What are you doing with the incredible revelation of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? What are you doing with this incredible, precious gift of salvation? Are we burying it? Are we keeping it to ourselves? Or are we going out, investing it, and sowing it to every individual we could possibly find? You know, it says, I believe in Luke, to whom much is given, much is required. And so in closing, I want to just bring our attention to in Matthew, Mark, where Jesus says, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Again, I was meditating on this and I felt like the Lord was saying that when we're called to become fishers of men, and the people he called to become fishers of men were already fishermen, right? So they were fishers of fish. And Jesus said, I'm calling you to be fishers of men. I wonder if what Jesus was actually doing was, you know, to you teachers, I'm calling you to be teachers of men. Not just teachers of education, not just teachers of books, but teachers of men. To you who are in business, I'm calling you to be in the business of the kingdom, not just the business of this world. I want to call you to multiply things in the kingdom. And I wonder if what Jesus was doing when he called them to become fishers of men was saying, I am changing your purpose. I am changing your calling. I am changing your vocation. I am changing your focus. For every single one of us who is employed, you are not employed to make money for your family. God is already the provider. You are not employed to have something to do, because if you needed something to do, God can give you plenty of other things to do. For those of you who are employed, you are not employed to have a source of identity, because Christ is our identity. For those of you who are employed, you are employed because Jesus felt that the people around you needed him so much, and the best representation of him that he can send was you. Do you know that each one of us are undercover agents? We are undercover evangelists. Amen. Give yourself a hand. I'm an undercover agent in the kingdom of God. For those of you who are students, you are not going to school to get a piece of paper, to get a job. Again, God is your provider. He is your identity. You are in school because you are an undercover agent. Amen. Same with every single one of us. Whatever situation we are in, if you're a mom, if you're a dad, if you, whatever you are there because God has called you to become his ambassadors of reconciliation. He has called you to be his hands and feet. He has called you to be him. Amen? And everything that we have is a weapon, including your good looks. Did you ever think of that? Even my good looks are a weapon for the kingdom of God. That amazing curry you make, that's a weapon in the kingdom of God. You know, everything, your sense of humor, it's a weapon in the kingdom of God. Begin to use it for the kingdom. Begin to use it to bring in home souls. Begin to use it to bring home the lost ones. And I want to challenge each one of us in this room. What are we doing? I want us to think about the people in our lives that don't know the Lord and ask ourselves, what are we doing? What are we doing to share God's love? What are we doing to share salvation? You know, I've been watching The Biggest Loser a lot. I find the show very inspiring. But one thing that always happens, I know you guys are laughing, I cry every week. But one thing that happens all the time is before the people go on the scale, they always think, oh man, if only I did one more push-up, if only I did five more minutes on the treadmill, maybe it would have made all the difference. And they get on the scale with that sense of, you know, fear and wishing that they would have done one more thing. And when I look at that, I'm like, God, I don't want to go to heaven and say, oh, Lord, if only I did talk to my girlfriend about you. Oh, Lord, if only I mentioned one more time to my friend if they want to come to church with me. Oh, God, forgive me. If only I had that opportunity to tell my friend Bob the love of Jesus. I don't want any single one of us to go home with the regret of saying, oh, God, none of this matters except for people. You know, when we go to heaven, the Lord said to me, I will not be able to bring to heaven any of my successes, my earthly successes. I will not be able to bring to heaven any of my collection of shoes, no matter how much I love them. I will not be able to bring to heaven any of my clothes, any of my accolade, any of my business certificates or my schooling certificates or my diploma. I can't take anything with me to heaven except people. It's the only thing I can take with me to heaven. And God is calling each one of us to come to a place where we're like, God, remind me what I'm here for. Remind me why I've been born in this time, in this season. Remind me why I'm in this job, in this school. Remind me why I am here. It's because you've called me to those around me. I am the Jesus of this area. I am the Jesus of my world. Amen? And I want to even put one more challenge for those of you who don't have to work, don't need to work, and truly, honestly, can stay home and enjoy the presence of God. Sam and I, we work at TACF, and so all of our colleagues are lovers of Jesus, which is such a blessing. I remember when I first got a job here at TACF at the Christian bookstore, I would weep almost every day because I'm like, I cannot believe I'm at a job where I can listen to Christian music all day long. You know, worship, praise God. It is such a blessing. And our cells are all believers, our churches are all believers. We realized that we were surrounded by only believers. We did not have a single unbelieving friend. And so we're like, Lord, forgive us, because we've not done anything really to share your gospel with those around us. And so that's when I began to go to school. And I was like, I'm going to school not because I need a piece of paper, because God is everything I need. I'm going to school because I want to get to know people who don't know Jesus. And Sam, he's getting back into cycling because he wants to get to know people who don't know Jesus. We're like, we need to find people who don't know the Lord. And can I challenge each one of you, if you do not have any unbelieving friends, I challenge you to go make some. I challenge you to knock on your neighbor's door and say, hey, do you want to come over for a cup of tea? I challenge each one of you right now to walk outside of your comfort zone, to be like, God, I want to love those that you love. I want to be moved with your compassion. I want to be compelled by your love. Amen? Let's all close our eyes. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would come and begin to stir our hearts. Father, I pray right now that you would forgive us for all the ways that we've walked in complacency, that we have walked in being satisfied with our relationship with you, and being satisfied with the eternal life that we're living right now, not recognizing that we have been given life so that we can share that life with those around us. That, Father, if it was just a matter of having our souls saved, then as soon as we gave our lives to you, we could have been raptured. You know? But Lord, no, you say, stay. I want you to stay. The Father is going to keep you from the evil one. I want you to stay, and I want to send you as the Father has sent me to bring my children to know me, to bring my children to know my love, to know my salvation, to know that Jesus died for their sins and resurrected so that they can live eternally. And Father, I pray right now in any area of our heart that we have been satisfied, I pray that you would forgive us right now, Lord. And in this area, Lord, will you just begin to shake us? And if you're at a place, even now, where you're not necessarily even like, yes, gung-ho, I want to reach souls, but in your heart, you know you want to be, I want you to stand. And let's agree together right now. And let's raise our hands before God. Father, I thank you that these hands are not made of flesh and blood, that these hands are supernatural hands. God, I thank you that my smile is just not for myself and my family, but this is a supernatural smile. The Father, these eyes are just not theological, but rather these eyes are the eyes of Jesus Christ. And Father, I recognize right now that I have not been using the weapons and the tools that you have given me to bring souls into your kingdom. Father, will you forgive me? God, let us just begin to repent before the Lord. If in any way where we have not been taking hold of the things that God has given us, that we have been taking our talent and burying it instead of multiplying it in the kingdom of God. Lord, will you come right now and just forgive me? Forgive each one of us, God, for just being satisfied with where we're at. Father, forgive us, like myself, if we've ever just even ignored huge sections of society because we feel uncomfortable, instead of recognizing that if you were here on earth, that's where you would be. Father, will you come right now and just begin to move in our hearts and give us such a compassion and a heart that's moved and compelled for souls. God, let our heart beat for souls like your heart beats for souls. And if that's your heart, I want you to just tell him in your own words, say, God, give me a heart. Give me a desire. Give me a desire. God, forgive me for any way that I have ignored your voice with the people in my life in the past. But God, I pray that right now you would give me the words to say, that it's just the love to express. Father, I pray that you would even challenge me to have relationship with people in my workplace instead of just coming in at 9 and leaving at 5. That God, even if I spent the 15-minute break that I have just building relationship with members in my workplace, God, will you just give me that love? Give me that compassion. Give me that desire, Lord, to come into a place of loving like you love and recognizing that your heart beats for souls. Father, I pray you would come right now and let each one of us in this room, each one of us in this room, become true, effective, effectual, undercover agents in your kingdom, Lord. Ha! Father, I pray that you would put faces of people that we know in our minds right now, in our hearts right now, that you cry out for and that you love. God, will you come and just shake my heart with your love. And Father, I thank you that in John 15:5 it says, apart from you, we can do nothing. And so, Father, I pray right now that you would just graft me into your heart in this part for souls, for that you would awaken this part for souls, God, that you would just awaken me. And I pray, Lord, that you would compel me to love like you love. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray for those who are just natural evangelists, you know, who just attract people and just love to talk to them about the Lord. I pray, Father, you would even add more to them, Father. Add to them, God. Add to them, Jesus. I thank you that revival will happen in their schools. Revival will happen in their workplace. Revival will happen in their book club. Whatever it is, Lord, will you just begin to give us divine ideas and divine ways to reach to the lost right now in Jesus' name. And why don't you just get into groups of two and just pray for each other. And if you need to say, hey, I want prayer that God will give me a heart of love for those in my workplace, just tell the person next to you. If some of you are like, yeah, I recognize that I have really isolated myself from the world instead of being in the world, can you pray for me about that? And let's just pray for each other that we would come into a place where we would be passionate for souls. Father, I thank you that you found no one better to reach my friend at school than me. Father, you found that the representation of you in each one of us was exactly the representation you wanted for those around them. So Lord, will you come and just begin to move in our hearts? Give us a passion for souls. Give us a passion for love. Give us a passion in the name of Jesus with the things that you're passionate about, Lord. Father, I pray that no longer will people just be moving moving objects in our lives, but rather we would begin to see their faces and see the brokenness and see them, Lord. And you've called us to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and to set the prisoners free. And God, we want that. We want to walk in that in the name of Jesus. Father, let us be those incredible undercover agents for you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, that you are going to give us just a passion for those around us. Lord, I thank you that you are going to cause each one of us to come alive in your love. Come alive in your love, Lord. Come alive in your passion. Oh, there is no thrill like the thrill of seeing someone receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. How awesome that is. How awesome it is, God. So, Father, come. Give us that heart. In Jesus' name. I also want to give an invitation to anyone in this room who you have no idea what I'm talking about, but you see the joy and the life exuding in this place, and you know that you want to give your heart to Jesus. You know that you want to experience this passionate love that the Father has that I've been talking about. I just want to give each one of you an invitation to come and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It is the most life-changing, most wonderful, most awesome decision you could ever make in your entire life. And today, when you give your heart to Jesus, eternal life begins now. And I know you could hear my voice because the Holy Spirit is just moving in your heart and your heart is beating really fast. That's God. His heart is beating just as fast to meet you face to face. You know, in Song of Solomon, it talks about how just one look of your eyes makes God's heart beat faster. That's how much he loves you. And if that's you today, I invite you to just come up right here. As people are praying for each other, just come up because I want to pray with you right here. I'm going to come down here. And if that's you, I want you to come up and we're going to pray together. And for those of you who are praying for one another, if you know that there's someone near you that you don't know knows the Lord, feel free to ask them right now and come up with them. Because there is nothing more extravagant and more wonderful than knowing Jesus is your Lord and Savior and experiencing peace that defies all logic. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Come on up. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Is there anyone who knows that today is the day that you want to give your heart to the Lord? I feel like there's someone here in this room that you have known about Jesus and you've been so intrigued by him, and it's been even a few months. Yeah, come on up. But you've never been ready to take the leap. Today's your day. Today is your day. Valentine's Day is your day. Can you imagine for the rest of your life, you say, I found Jesus on Valentine's Day. Awesome. That is so awesome. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Well, we love you, church. Be blessed. If you can stay and stack some seats with us, we would love it. We need volunteers to help us for our incredible carnival tomorrow. So we need volunteers today to help us set up now. We also need volunteers for tomorrow. Perfect. And if you are here for the first time and you'd like to meet with our senior pastor and you'd like to meet with us, please come to the patio room for a free cup of coffee and we'll get to chat and mingle and get to know one another. And it'd be great to meet with you. Be blessed. Have a wonderful Valentine's Day. Kiss your beloved. We love you.
So folks, just remind you that Steve is at the door right now. Kathy is heading back to the door if she's not there. Yes, I see her as well, the door. And I'm going to ask Darla to head to the door as well. So if you'd like to say hi to them, just you can greet them on the way out. That'd be great. There's no meeting tonight, no healing service tonight because we're changing the auditorium around. And just a reminder for those of you in School of Champions, it's going to pick up again next Sunday is when School of Champions is going to be. So if you're a newcomer, you've been at TACF four times or less, come right now into the patio room just over here, 10 minutes, 5 minutes, have a cup of coffee and a snack. And Reese is one of our guys over here, Reese in the purple. He's just going to get our chairs stacked. So guys, can I get the men right now to begin to stack the chairs in stacks of 6 to 8, somewhere in that range? If you could begin to do that right now. And then in a few minutes, we're going to be looking for like 100 of you to just be able to stay a little bit longer. We're going to give you some lunch, and then we're going to put you to work for a couple hours this afternoon setting up for the carnival. God bless you.
To blow balloons. There's lunch for your kids as well, so if you're looking for being able to stay till about 2:30 and help us, we're going to be in the overflow room setting up games.